In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, truly, everything we do in life is a trade. We are trading for eternal life in everything. Whether you know it or not, whether you accept it or not, remember it or not, everything we do is a valuation. And some things are good and some things are bad. There is really no in-between. Either something leads us to God or it leads us away. Either something is holy or not. Now, I understand there are shades of gray and all kinds of things in life. But in how we approach given things, anything, there is no gray. There is either follow God or not. And this parable of Lazarus and the rich man brings this point home very, very sharply. I'll explain the parable first, and then let's talk about just a couple aspects of it that are really the most critically important. Now, a parable is a story that is not literally true, but it has truth in it. So there was no Lazarus, there was no rich man. This is a story. But the rich man being in hell depicts truth, and being in torment depicts truth, and him having his great regret for the kind of life he had had is certainly true. And that Lazarus suffered in this life and was exalted in the next is true for many, many people. So a man, rich, fared sumptuously every day and was unaware of a man by his gate. Not that he didn't notice him, not that he didn't know his name. He just didn't care. And he was so unfeeling towards Lazarus that the only ones that gave him comfort were dogs who licked his sores. That's an indictment about the rich man's lack of compassion. Now, this probably is the same man now that would have given lots of money to the temple and would have maybe engaged in all kinds of charitable works, but he didn't care about someone by his doorstep. And so Lazarus died and was carried into Abraham's bosom, which means to salvation. And the rich man, the unnamed rich man, died, and he went down to hell. A man without a name. Many people called out his name and asked him for things and were his friends in this life, but in the next life, he doesn't have a name. And so the rich man gazes up at Abraham and begs of him to send Lazarus, see, he knew his name because he called him by name, to just dip his finger in some water and cool his tongue because he was in torment in the flame. That flame is the same as that worm which eats away, and the fire that is not quenched, and the quenching and the gnashing of teeth. It is regret without any option, without any ability to change. Because in hell we will know our sins, but not be able to do anything about them. And so they will torment us like a flame. Whereas they burned us during this life, but we found some satisfaction out of them. In the next life, there will be no satisfaction. There will only be the burning. Not the literal flame, but the great regret and the great shame. And truly, great despondency. Now, Abraham could hear Lazarus. Could hear the rich man. This is depicting a truth. The saints can hear us. They're not dead. So we can speak to them. But Abraham showed him a very important truth. And this is what we need to focus on the most. He said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented." You see how the rich man had made a trade? He had had his good things in this earth, which are paltry in comparison to what happens in heaven. But he traded this life for a torment in the next. So this is the principle that we must see. Sort of a mnemonic device that we should use. When you are considering doing any action, is this something that is just gratification now that gives you no assistance in reaching heaven or perhaps even hinders you? If you remember this, you'll be saved from a lot of sins. Now don't think of this in just a legalistic way that you get to have good time now and hell later or hell now and heaven later. But it is the way a Christian should live. You should think, is this valuable, what I will do? Right now, here and now, how I'm thinking, what I'm about to say, how I'm treating this person. Is this heaven? Or am I acting like a person who will be going to hell? If you remember this, this will save you from many, many sins. And so the rich man doesn't deny what Abraham said, because in hell it'll be completely obvious. The truth will be so self-evident, there will be no denying it. We can deny the truth now in this life. We can pretend we're something we're not. But in hell there is no pretending. In heaven there is no pretending. What we are is manifest to all. And so the rich man, though, had brothers. He was a man in hell, but he was not without compassion, at least some compassion. Compassion for his brothers. And he asked Abraham to go visit them and tell them so that they wouldn't live like he lived and go to hell too. And what Abraham told him is that they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. Well, the rich man knew that his brothers weren't going to hear the prophets. He didn't care about the prophets in his life. He might have gone to the synagogue, but it didn't make any difference to him. He probably couldn't have said one verse from memory. And he knew that his brothers were like that too. So he said, if one came back from the dead, they would repent. And Abraham tells them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Now this is cryptically an indictment of the Jews and really of everyone else who would not believe in Christ after his resurrection. Even though he rose from the dead, there would be still those who would not believe him. But it is also an indictment to us. How are we going to be persuaded if we do not believe in him who rose from the dead? Now, don't be so quick to say that you believe. A true Christian is not going to say anything that dogmatically. He's not going to say, I'm without sin. He's not going to say, I truly believe in all things about concerning God. The reason why? Because if you believe, you do it. If we believe in God, we'll follow him. What did the Lord say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So intellectually, yes, we believe in God. But do we believe in him in everything we do in life? If you're honest with yourself, you'd have to say, no, that's not really the case. And God forgive us for that. Now, how do we believe in Christ, the one who is risen, completely? I tell you, it is not possible to completely believe without completely following. So, with our belief must come our actions. We must order our life according to Christ. And St. Paul, in an epistle which happens to juxtapose with this one this year, from Galatians, gives us how we must act in order to completely believe in the risen Christ. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the principle, brothers and sisters, to test yourself to see if you're a Christian or how much of a Christian you are. Do you live in a way that you are crucified with Christ? We are to take up our cross. We are to follow Christ. We are not to just say we believe. We are to show that we believe. Our Lord said things and then He backed them up. So should we. If we say that God is our Father, let us act as His sons and daughters. If we say that we love Christ, let us take up our cross, let us crucify ourselves with Him, which means the lust of the flesh, the desires for things that are not holy, our pride, our vanity. Let's crucify those things. And let's understand that if we are true Christians, it is not just us living as a biological organism. It is Christ living in us, motivating us, teaching us to do all things, to do that which is eternal instead of the temporary that is so common. Almost everything's going away. Everything will go away except one thing, and that is who you become. The rich man, he just became a man who had not God. And he remained that. Lazarus had God and was with Him and will be with Him in eternity. Which are we? Perhaps we say, well, you know, we take care of the poor and we do this and that. That's not the issue. Are you living with Christ living in you? Do you order your life according to Christ? Or, when you get up in the morning, is your most important task whatever the secular things are ahead of you? Taking a shower and making coffee and getting to work and doing this and doing that? Or is that day a day that you have sanctified to the Lord, that you will struggle to follow His commandments? It's easy to say that, but then when you start doing it, there's the real nitty-gritty and it gets real ugly. Because we say that we want to follow the Lord's commandment and have Christ live in us. Well, Christ was the one who had no place to lay His head. So, when we go to work and there's that person we just don't like to be around, do we tolerate them? Are we irritated with them? Do we participate in slander against them? Are we kind to everyone, including those who are not kind to us? Do we put ourselves first or last? It's easy to talk about it, but in practice, it's very difficult. And it's warfare with your last drop of blood. That's what life is. Warfare. Not just about believing in Christ. Living like you believe in Christ. The rich man probably was religious. He went to synagogue. He prayed. He might have even fasted sometimes. He probably gave a tithe to the temple. He had loved ones, a wife and children most likely. And yet, he was empty inside because he did not have fullness of love for God. You know, the Scripture says our God is a jealous God. What that means is He wants your whole heart, not part of it, all of it. He doesn't accept part of your heart. He will accept only all of your hearts. Now, perhaps you wonder about your sins and how they might show that you're not following Christ. I tell you, don't be so concerned about sin. Be concerned about not repenting from it. Be concerned about having a sort of a mundane view of life, where you forget to pray, where you forget to fast or choose not to fast. Will you go to church infrequently? Will you really just live a secular life? That's the way, that's the broad way. The narrow way is to fast, to pray, to struggle with your sins, to try to become like Christ, with Him living in you. To recognize that you've been bought with a price, and therefore you should voluntarily crucify yourself. Christ did it. He was put up on the cross, but He voluntarily allowed it. And so it should be the same way with us. we must voluntarily crucify ourselves and always think of living with Christ in us. And then we will not ignore any poor man that is by our doorstep. We will be aware of the things that God wants to show us, and we will react to them. But if you just live your life bebopping along, then you'll be quite surprised in the end, in the judgment. This time right now is for you and I, for us to become like Christ, to crucify our flesh with its lusts and its affections, and to become like Him. This is the process of salvation that we are in the midst of right now. It's not an intellectual process. It's not just a mental ascent. It is warfare. It gets easier. Any one of us who's been a Christian for a while could tell of things that used to be very hard and now are easy. Or perhaps, maybe we could say they're not so difficult. So don't despair. Follow Christ. Try to feel Him living in you. Live by faith in the Son of God. That means you're going to live like Him. He set His face to Jerusalem. He was born in order to die. And He knew that. And every moment of His life He was aware of that. We are also born in order to die and to live. What must die is all that stuff in us. We know what it is. We might not even be able to always admit it. But we feel it. All that stuff in us. The darkness in us. That's supposed to die. And we are supposed to live with light in us. So may God help you to make a good trade always in everything you do. If you consider yourself to be crucified with Christ and Christ to live in you, then you will always be making good trades. And God will save you. Amen.